In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning picks up just after the beheading of John the Baptist. And Jesus, in the wake of the death of the Baptist, is heading out into a deserted place to rest and to pray and to grieve. John was his cousin and his friend. But more than that, the Baptist worked tirelessly to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. Everything he did was making people ready to encounter Jesus Christ. In that ministry, that way of life led to his death. So it would have been perfectly understandable. As Jesus' boat came into shore, had he seen the crowd and turned around and went a little further? But he didn't. Jesus does the thing he always does. He moves closer to those who are hurting. He moves closer to those who are hungry. He moves closer to those who are seeking him. Filled with compassion, he heals their sick. Filled with mercy, he stays with them even as his own heart is broken. Filled with love, he will not send them away when they cry out in hunger. He feeds them, not with just enough, but with ridiculous abundance. In a world where scarcity often has the last word, Jesus is the Lord of abundance. Throughout the gospel text, we encounter the reality of the economics of the age. And in this story today, we encounter the reality of food insecurity. Yes, it is true, Jesus offers to those gathered healings and an encounter with the divine. But that encounter is a foretaste of God's kingdom. Those who are gathered are offered not only spiritual solace, they are offered real food and plenty of it. There is so much food that there are baskets upon baskets upon baskets of leftovers, ensuring that even the tardy get enough to eat. My sophomore year of college was a difficult year. My family was hit by divorce, death, general dysfunction. I was on academic probation, debating whether or not I, the first person in my family to go to college, even belonged here. My heart was heavy and broken. And it was during that academic year that I first was introduced to the Episcopal Church. And not at a big, fancy church with lots of programs and shiny things. At an itty-bitty church, even then, in the fall of 2000, Christ Church was small. The bulletin was a half sheet of paper, often not cut very straight. And on one side was the announcements, and on the other, a listing of page numbers, BCP 355, S236, H179. Turns out those refer to the Book of Common Prayer, whatever that is, the service music in the hymnal, and then the remainder of the hymnal. I was a little lost. And the organ wasn't grand, but it was played well. The liturgy was simple and true. It was heavenly. It was the nearest encounter of heaven that I had ever had in my life. My heart and my soul were being fed in a way that they had never been fed before. A hunger was being satiated that I had not even recognized. Every Sunday in the liturgy, I found myself drawn further up and further into heaven, my heart slowly being knit back together and my soul being renewed. But the magic of that little church wasn't contained to Sunday mornings. On Wednesday evenings, a small group gathered for evensong and mass. No choir, just congregational singing. No bulletins, just the rhythms of the prayer book that were soaked into their bones, and no advertising, just an open red door. And after the liturgy, I would be invited into the parish hall for a potluck meal. 7, 8, sometimes 10 folks sat around a table, talking, laughing, crying, being truly and fully present. And it was there in that parish hall that needed a paint job where the church was fully revealed to me. You see, my friends, the fullness of the church will never be revealed solely in the liturgy, nor can it be fully revealed solely in feeding the hungry. To be fully the church, we must do both. And it does not need to be fancy or overdone. It needs only to be true and abundant. It does not need to be flawless. It needs only to be real. It does not need to be perfect. It needs only to be particular to that place and to those people. If we offer the whole of our hurting and broken selves to God and to our neighbor, the possibilities are endless. Because the reality of God's kingdom is that God is able to take our finite offerings and remake them into the infinite. Too often we humans, like the disciples, grow afraid that there will not be enough. We become scared, greedy, sometimes even cruel. We turn our backs on those who come to us hungry. Hungry for a better life. Hungry for the kingdom of God. Hungry for a meal. Governments corrupt and waste natural resources and allow the ultra-rich to steal from the poor. We enact policies that turn our backs on refugees who come to us for help. We enact inhuman policies that send the most vulnerable away to places where their lives may ultimately be forfeit, all in the name of protecting resources for those who are supposed to be here. And yet, somehow, more and more people go without food and basic necessities each week. Beloved, this is not the hour to listen to the devil on our shoulder that whispers, "There isn't enough. Send them away." This is the hour to imitate Christ Jesus, to move our boats closer to the hungry, to feed them in mind, body, and spirit, trusting in our Lord's ability to make the imperfect perfect. Trusting in his ability to take our hard hearts and rework them into sacred hearts like his. Trusting in his ability to take our meager offering and transform it into radical abundance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.